Could I interest you in a light repast, Watson? Mrs. Hudson has wrapped up some cold beef and bread for our journey. Watson?
I'm sorry. What?
The provisions sent by Mrs. Hudson. Would you care for any? Might make you feel a trifle more joyous or slightly better.
No. Thank you, Holmes, no.
You might find you enjoy a small bite.
I'm quite all right. Perhaps on the train.
An excellent idea. And I, too, would have eaten during the ride, except that I plan to rest as much as possible, so that I may arrive at Swanage with my mind in peak condition. Clear of mind, clear of deduction. Eh, Watson?
You don't need to distract me with chatter, Holmes.
I beg your pardon?
Holmes, you are an excellent detective and a talented actor, but only when your emotions are not involved.
I cannot possibly imagine what you are suggesting, Watson.
You may drop the charade. I know you are attempting to lift me from the doldrums, and I only want you to know that my happiness is not your responsibility.
Watson, I really don't think that that's... And there is our boarding call now.
Oh, not a moment too soon.
Here, let me carry the bags, Watson. No need for you to trouble
your... Holmes, for heaven's sake! I've lost my wife, not my own physical constitution. I can carry my own bag.
Watson? Watson? You've taken the wrong bag. I do hope you don't feel I am attempting to force you from your gloom prematurely, Watson.
That is precisely what you were trying to do, Holmes. You've removed your own emotions with a scalpel and then become overtly uncomfortable when in the presence of someone else's.
Your point is not entirely without merit, Watson. And if anyone has the right to a depressed state, it is the good friend sitting before me. And yet, I do admit that it does trouble me to see you so.
Then I shall attempt to conceal my grief so as not to make you uncomfortable.
I am making a mess of this. In my own clumsy way, I am attempting to express my sorrow over the tragedy that has befallen you.
And is that why you did not attend the funeral, Holmes?
Watson, I am many things, and for those which I am not, you have been there to fill the void. I sincerely regret that the thing you now need most of all, and what you needed at the funeral of your dear wife, is one which I am lacking.
Thank you, Holmes. I do believe I understand. And now, you should take your rest. We are well underway, and shall be in Swanage before we know it. I must say, the place is much more developed than I would have imagined.
And I, Watson. Those of us who spend the majority of our time in the oft-grimy environs of our beloved London tend to assume the rest of the country is a foundering wasteland.
And breathe that sea air. I feel invigorated already.
And you may be invigorated yet more once we are settled in our quarters and able to refresh ourselves.
You have made arrangements at a hotel?
Not this time, Watson. We have been graciously offered accommodations at our client's residence.
The young lady. But Holmes, is her father not absent? What would people say?
Your sense of propriety may rest easy, my principled friend. Miss Trelawney has an adult brother who is also staying at the house. We are merely guests of the family.
Well, I suppose that's...
Mr. Holmes?
Watch yourself, Watson!
Holmes, stop! You'll break the man's arm.
What do you mean by sneaking up in that foul manner?
Let him go, Holmes. Let him go.
What do you want, you silly blunderbuss? I might have killed you.
Begging your pardon, sir.
Well?
I've been sent by Miss Trelawney to escort you to the house, sir. The carriage just off the station there.
Oh, my dear fellow, we are terribly sorry, aren't we, Holmes? Allow me to help you up. And it appears your waistcoat has become covered with dirt.
Watson, stop that pandering. It was an honest mistake.
An honest mistake? But Holmes...
A certain sense of paranoia is inevitable in my line of work.
I'm very sorry.
That's quite all right, Mr. Holmes. Shall we be on our way?
Yes, of course. Watson, stop that.
Oh, good heavens.
Holmes and I made our way to the Trelawney residence without further encounter. We were warmly greeted and shown to our quarters, where we made ourselves comfortable for the better part of an hour before being called to dinner. Late in the meal, it was with some surprise that I heard Holmes launch into a discussion on the case.
I beg your indulgence, Miss Trelawney, as I am not normally one to discuss business at dinner, preferring to keep such vulgarities for the parlour. However, I sensed from your communication that time is of the essence.
It is, Mr. Holmes. My father has been missing for several days. As you might imagine, both my brother and I are worried sick. Isn't that so, Edward?
Quite so.
And when did you last see your father?
The morning of the 7th.
And you, sir?
Oh, it has been quite some time. I live in London and only arrived yesterday myself.
I see. And what was your father doing when you last saw him, Miss Trelawney?
He was working in his office before leaving for the cave to continue his research.
The Tilly Wim caves?
Yes.
And what sort of work was he doing that morning?
I believe he was copying his notes into what he called his tidy book.
Tidy book?
More like a translation book. Father has the worst handwriting of anyone I've yet to meet.
He would make hurried notes in the field that were practically illegible. The next morning, in the comfort of his office, he would copy these notes into a more careful hand.
Into the tidy book?
Yes.
And what sort of research is your father doing at the caves?
It is believed, at least by local historians, that Tilly Wim has an ancient heritage. My father was certain he had found evidence of a long-ago civilization living there.
What sort of evidence?
I'm afraid I don't know.
And who would know?
You are welcome to read my father's copied notations, or you could speak with Dr. Thaddeus Blackwood.
A doctor?
Not a medical man, Dr. Watson. An academic.
Times are changing, Watson. Doctorates are becoming more and more common in academic circles. One day they might even offer an advanced degree on the study of our own time.
Holmes, how ridiculous. Why would anyone ever want to study these modern times?
These times will not always be modern, my dear Watson. One day, future generations will almost certainly look upon us as backward and ignorant.
Whilst also ignoring their own failings, no doubt.
It is the way of things. Now then, Miss Trelawney, what can you tell us about this Dr. Blackwood?
He's a piker.
Oh, Edward, please.
Well, he is. One of these fellows who somehow manages to consistently fail in a successful trajectory.
What my brother means is that Dr. Blackwood has suffered, through no fault of his own, a series of missteps that would send most professional reputations to ruin.
And why has Dr. Blackwood escaped such a fate?
For one thing, he's good friends with the Mayor of Swanage, who, in turn, is on the board of University College London.
How advantageous for him. And in that, we have something in common.
You don't say. And who might your friend be?
It is not important. Pray, continue with your discourse on Dr. Blackwood.
Yes, he was at odds with my father over the Tilly Wim project.
At odds? In what way?
My father was considered an antiquarian by Blackwood, while Blackwood sees himself as a professional.
Ignoring, of course, that archaeology, as a professional academic pursuit, is still in its infancy.
As you said, Mr. Holmes, that is the way of things.
Indeed. Well, Miss Trelawney, I thank you for a wonderful meal. If you don't mind, I would like to spend a few moments going over your father's study, after which Dr. Watson and I should retire for the night, so as to tackle the problem fresh upon the morning.
What do you make of it all, Holmes?
As of yet, there is no all of which to make, Watson. My suspicions are scarce, and the facts are scarcer still.
I can tell you my suspicions.
Dr. Thaddeus Blackwood?
The man is clearly a charlatan, even though the young lady seems guarded in her words.
I fear your biases may be showing, Watson. Let us not forget it was a medical man who turned out to be the charlatan in our last little adventure.
Perhaps. Anything of note in the journal?
Hobbyist or otherwise, Mr. Trelawney has a good grasp on the field. His notes are rife with technical details. A bit odd, however, that he seems to use different terms for identical things.
The mark of an amateur.
Perhaps, but that explanation does not satisfy.
Well, I must say, there appears to be nothing sinister here at all, if you don't count that shelf of ancient bones, and what appears to be an unhealthy obsession with soil samples. There are jars and jars of them.
I have no interest in either bones or jars of dirt. At least not in this context. This cigar, however, does give me pause.
A cigar? But what is so interesting about that? It appears to have been once lit, but now burnt out.
And that is what I find fascinating, my dear fellow.
I'm afraid I don't follow.
There is no need for you to do so at this moment, Watson. Merely a thought in my head. For now, I shall simply preserve the sample for further examination in our room.
May I help you, gentlemen?
I am Sherlock Holmes, and this is my colleague, Dr. Watson. We are here to see Dr. Blackwood.
And do you have an appointment?
Perhaps you did not hear me, madam. My name is Sherlock...
I wouldn't care if you were Sir Conan Doyle himself. Dr. Blackwood sees no one without an appointment.
My dear lady...
What my friend is trying to say, madam, is that we have travelled a fair distance to see the good doctor... We'd consider it an honor if we could consult him on a matter of great importance.
Laying it on a little thick, aren't we, Watson?
Well, if it's important.
Oh, it is. Extremely important.
Very well. You and your disagreeable friend can wait in the reception area. Take a seat and I'll ask Dr. Blackwood if he has the time.
If he has the time? Holmes, there is not another soul to be seen in the entire place.
Yes, Watson, and that tells us something else about Blackwood that we before only suspected.
And what might that be?
That he has an immensely overinflated opinion of himself.
I cannot wait to see the two of you cross swords.
What do you mean?
Oh, come now, Holmes. I ought to refuse to be in the same room as two such inflated egos for fear of asphyxiation.
Well, I never heard such absolute balderdash.
Well, that housekeeper did not know your name. I thought you might come clear out of your skin.
You amuse yourself to the limit, Watson.
One thing does confuse me, however.
Naturally.
Who is this Conan Doyle fellow she was talking about?
Ah, I've seen his name in the periodicals. Fancies himself an author.
Any good, is he?
He has some skill, I suppose, but I don't see him creating much of lasting importance.
Dr. Blackwood, we'll see you now, gentlemen.
Brace yourself, Watson. We are on the verge of breathing rarefied air.
Holmes.
Gentlemen, welcome to my office. You will pardon me if I don't rise, of course, but I suffer from a knee injury. It makes it painful to walk on the colder days of the year.
Oh, that is quite all right. I myself was wounded in the Second Afghan War.
Ah, I served in Africa against the Zulu. Always good to meet a fellow veteran. My housekeeper tells me you are Dr. Watson and a Mr.
Holmes. Sherlock Holmes.
Of course. What can I do for you, sir?
We've come to discuss Mr. Gilbert Trelawney.
What about him?
Surely you've heard of his disappearance?
I've heard he hasn't been seen for several days, if that's what you mean.
Is that not the same thing?
Not where Gilbert is concerned, no. The man is an amateur. But that does not mean he is not dedicated. Going off alone is not unusual.
For days at a time?
Well, I will admit that this is the longest continuous absence, but still, I am certain he will turn up at any moment and fall right back into his routine as if nothing happened. It is what he does.
I see. And what else does he do?
I failed to follow you, sir.
You mentioned he was an amateur. What is he an amateur at doing?
You really don't know anything, do you?
I'd like to hear it from you.
Gilbert was an archaeological hobbyist, an antiquarian.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the field of archaeology is coming into its own, those of us with formal training feel it important to protect it.
Protect? How so?
I will be the first to admit that antiquarians of the past have done good work and found much, but they do not always understand how to care for what they have found, how to preserve the integrity of a dig site, how to interpret the contextual environment, a million tiny details that only a suitably trained eye can hope to discern.
And you are such a scholar?
I have a degree from university, sir. If you doubt my credentials, I invite you to contact University College London.
Perhaps I will. Is it safe to say, then, that you and Mr. Trelawney were rivals?
Only by the most liberal application of the word, sir. I do not compete with amateurs.
But they may be willing to compete with you.
Exactly where's this going, Mr. Holmes? Are you here to accuse me of some wrongdoing in relation to Gilbert's disappearance?
We are simply making inquiries.
I see. In that case, I must ask you to leave. I have much to do, and can ill afford to spend time in the presence of individuals who have nothing better to do than cast thinly veiled aspersions.
Very well, sir, but you may be seeing us again.
I shall await such an event with bated breath. Good day.
So, you're on the lookout for old Trelawney, eh? An odd duck. Thinks Swanage was the site of some ancient civilization.
Swanage?
Oh, well, the caves, specifically. Spends all his time rooting about down there. against my orders.
Orders?
Yes. The caves are actually limestone quarries, worked mostly during the last century. They haven't been mined since 1812 and are exceptionally prone to rock slides and cave-ins. Hmm. I've temporarily closed the area until we can obtain funding to shore up the weaker points.
To make it safe for the public?
But of course! Part of my job as mayor is to ensure the safety of citizens.
What are your own feelings on Mr. Trelawney?
He is a nutter, but a harmless one.
And his work?
A waste of time, but again, harmless. My only objection is that he insists on ignoring my orders about going to the caves.
Can you not enforce the closure?
Well, I could, but it hardly seems worth the row it would cause. Trelawney can make a ruckus if he's so inclined.
Some people believe he's simply on one of his extended absences. What are your feelings on the subject?
I entirely agree. The old bounder is probably deep in the caves now, rooting about in crumbling limestone, or off in the countryside, sifting through stream beds for ancient pieces of flint. I suppose someone has to care about the past, but frankly, I prefer to keep my sights on the future. That is what truly matters.
And if we can learn from the past?
The only thing one can learn from the past is what dullards past humans could be. Look around you, Mr. Holmes. Technological progress being made on every front. How one can live in such exciting times and still be content with something as banal as prehistoric pottery shards is quite beyond me. But each to their own, I suppose.
And what are your feelings on Dr. Blackwood?
Yet another local crackpot. The only difference between old Trelawney and Blackwood is that one has a piece of paper confirming his insanity, and the other is simply an amateur lunatic. I would trade them both for one competent architect, or even an ambitious tradesman.
Have the two men ever had a notable conflict?
Oh, you must be joking, sir. Those two are always getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
You get them in the same tavern on the same night, and you'll have entertainment enough to last you a fortnight.
I see. Well, thank you for your time, your worship.
A pleasure, Mr. Holmes. Having even minor celebrities visit Swanage is good for business. In fact, stop by the Thistle and Rose for lunch and put it on my bill.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you.
Oh, not at all. Thank you for stopping by. I trust you can find your own way out.
I believe we can manage it.
And a good day to you both.
Well, if nothing else, we got a free meal, eh, Holmes?
We shall not be accepting the Lord Mayor's generosity, Watson.
Why ever not?
Never mind. It would simply be poor form.
I believe I understand.
Watson, this town has begun to irritate me.
Poor Holmes. First his name goes unrecognized by a housekeeper, and then he is blithely referred to as a minor celebrity. However will his ego survive such slings and arrows?
I am delighted you find yourself so amused, Watson, for your wit is entirely lost on the other 50% of your current audience.
Holmes! Holmes! What are you doing?
Looking for that blasted cigar from Trelawney's study. I could have sworn I wrapped it in paper to examine later, but now it seems to have vanished into the ether.
You did? I saw you do it. And I see it now as well.
Oh, and do you intend on sharing your eagle's vision?
It is there, on the table, resting in plain sight.
Oh, so it is. Well, let us see what we can discover. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
You've found something of note?
Perhaps. This cigar was lit, and yet the end remains uncut. I shall make a note of it.
I don't see how that information is of any use, Holmes.
It is but one element, Watson. Cases are rarely solved by a single revelation, but rather the gradual accumulation of facts. Then, once you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth. Who is it?
Dinner, Mr. Holmes.
We shall be there shortly. Not a word of this, Watson. We must now begin to play our cards very close to the vest.
This is madness. I am much too old to be scrabbling down a trellis like some lovesick schoolboy. Whatever are we doing?
Playing our cards close to the vest, Watson.
Is there a way to play them without risking broken limbs?
I'm afraid not, Watson.
Ooh, hold, Watson. The night soil man is making his rounds. Once he passes, we may continue.
There you go, Bessie. Just a few more houses, and we can call it a night. There we are. Come on, Bessie.
Not the job I'd want, eh, Holmes?
No. But I thank those who make such a sacrifice. And now, let's be on our way.
And exactly where are we going at such an hour? And with a lantern and my military pistol? I know you are playing things close, Holmes, but you needn't include me among those left in the dark.
The caves, Watson. We are going to the caves. Take the lantern, Watson.
Of course, Holmes. I say, the way the light casts all those dancing shadows makes one feel as if there were eyes watching from every crevasse.
And perhaps there are.
Oh, I swear sometimes you say things merely to keep me on edge.
We know not what awaits us, Watson. It is best to be prepared.
I have my pistol.
Excellent. Let us move deeper into the cavern.
There. I see something ahead.
Indeed. It appears to be a toolkit. Small picks and brushes.
That of a stonemason?
No, Watson. An archaeologist. Were I to guess, I would say this belongs to the missing Gilbert Trelawney.
Or Dr. Blackwood?
Not at all. I got a look at his hands while conversing, and if those palms have ever seen the kind of work this toolkit would require, I shall quit the detecting business and join forces with the night soil man. We are getting closer, Watson. Stay alert and ready.
Oh, good heavens.
Stop, Watson. What is it, Holmes? There is a light up ahead. At first, I believed it to be only a reflection of your lantern, as it seemed to follow our progress. But now...
But now what, Holmes?
Now, it seems to have diverged.
Diverged? Holmes, do you mean to say that...
Yes, Watson. Someone has been retreating before us and taking care to mimic our movements.
To avoid detection.
Or to lead us onward.
Holmes!
Watson, hold! You cannot shoot what you cannot see.
Holmes! It's a cave-in!
Run for it, Watson!
Holmes! Holmes, the lantern!
Curse it all!
I can't see a thing. I've lost the path, Holmes.
You have not lost the path, Watson. Rather, the path has disappeared. It seems we've wandered directly into a trap.
Holmes, are you all right?
Physically, I am untouched. My pride, however, has taken yet another blow. Oh,
you could hardly have known.
And yet I should have. I saw the light and should have divined its intent.
Holmes? This is hardly the time for such a discussion. But as a doctor and your friend, I must repeat my question with a different intent. Are you all right?
Explain yourself.
Well, I mean, there have been a number of things, this current situation not being one of them, of course, but other things. Small things.
Stop babbling, Watson, and speak your mind, if you please.
Well, two recent examples have been losing the cigar at the house, the fit of anger at the driver...
He startled me.
Nevertheless, and these are just two minor examples, your behavior has been changing for several weeks now, months, perhaps... Things that are not like you. And then there is...
What are you saying?
Would you be willing to submit to a thorough medical examination? I have a doctor friend...
That is very kind of you, Watson, but that will hardly be necessary. You are, however, right about one thing.
I am?
Yes. This is hardly the time for such a discussion. Right. We should concern ourselves with escaping this place.
I hear water dripping.
But that does not mean said water is accessible. And without a light, finding either that or a way out is made infinitely more difficult.
I propose we begin back to back and then make our way in opposite directions, each keeping one hand upon the rock wall.
An excellent proposition, Watson. You still have your revolver?
I do, but as you said before, I cannot shoot what I cannot see.
I had a different purpose in mind. If you would permit me, I intend to wrap the butt of the gun along the wall as I go. If it changes in sound, perhaps we can detect exactly where the door is located.
The door?
Yes. As I said before, we are the victims of a trap. A man-made trap. Not a natural cave-in. I believe that rumbling we heard was the sound of a heavy door sliding into place. That also caused the violent gust of air that extinguished the lantern.
Oh, that's rather terrifying, Holmes. Yeah, but, as you wish. Here you go.
Thank you. And now, let us slowly make our way along. Watson, you hear that?
I believe I've found it. I'm just going to move over here.
Careful, Holmes. We don't know if the...
Watson!
Holmes!
Watson!
Hang on, Holmes. I'm coming. Oh, Holmes. Holmes! Oh, hang on, Holmes. I'm coming. Oh, John H. Watson, this may be the worst idea you've ever had.
Watson! Hear my command! Follow the sound of my voice!
Holmes, I thought
Watson,
I was...
Let me help you out!
What the devil were you playing at?
But,
you've done a lot of foolhardy things, but diving into a black hole takes the prize.
But Holmes, I was only trying to...
I forbid you to ever do that again. Here, the pistol.
Why, yes, sir. Speaking of the pistol, I heard shots before I...
Before you dove headfirst into an abyss of nothingness?
It was feet first, actually.
Quiet.
Did you see something, Holmes?
Yes. A face.
What?
Yes, Watson. You might have noticed it is not quite as dark down here as above. And as I scrambled ashore, I looked up to see the face of a creature or beast surging toward me from the darkness. I raised the pistol and fired several times, although I fear my aim was poor.
Oh, good heavens!
And so, perhaps you can understand my haste in firing off the rounds.
Quite so. And I am happy indeed that the cartridges survived their little dunk into the water.
We confront a strange adversary, my friend, and one I shall delight in unmasking.
You have an idea, Holmes?
Perhaps. But for now, we must return our attention to removing ourselves from this place.
You mentioned the lessening darkness. However, the light does not appear to have the golden hue of lamplight, nor does it flicker.
No, unless I am mistaken, that is the sickly cast of moonlight. Which means...
Ah, a way to the outside.
Precisely, and I believe it comes from... There, Watson, just below the surface of the water. That faint glow must be the exit.
But it's submerged, Holmes.
Then we are in need of our second swim of the night. Come, Watson, we have discovered our salvation.
It is nice to at last avail ourselves of the local dining, Watson. The Trelawney's hospitality is greatly appreciated, but after our taxing experience of last night, I find myself in need of heartier fare this morning.
Yes, Holmes.
And since the lady of the house seems under the weather, it felt prudent to ensure we were not a burden.
Yes. Oh, pardon me, old fellow. I seem to have come down with a bit of a cold myself.
And little wonder, you silly man, taking a nocturnal swim through a submerged cave and then walking back to town in wet clothing would take a toll on anyone's constitution.
It isn't as if I chose to do such a thing, Holmes. Circumstances were, shall we say, forced upon me. Speaking of which, you seem to be perfectly well.
Puts something of a damper on your theory about my physical condition, does it not? If you'll pardon the unintentional play on words.
It is not your body's constitution that concerns me.
Oh, I know. You think I'm losing my mental faculties. I will admit to being more distracted as of late about that is to be expected. I have been busy. You're...
Holmes, are you quite all right? You look as a... Holmes!
I say, it's a good thing you brought your medical bag with you, Dr. Watson.
Ah, I carry it on all our adventures, Mr. Trelawney. For all the good it does me now.
You don't know what is wrong with him?
No. He simply appears to be sleeping. Very strange. Very strange indeed. I'd like to speak with the lady of the house, if I may.
Emily?
Indeed. I have no way of knowing how long Mr. Holmes will be out, and I need to check on a couple of things related to the case at hand.
Sorry, Doctor. I haven't seen my sister since yesterday.
Really? Odd, isn't it?
Perhaps. Although we make it a practice not to pry into each other's affairs.
Of course. Well, I hate to leave Holmes here alone, but...
I'll be about for the next couple of hours or so. If anything occurs, I can either send for you or contact the local physician.
Ah, excellent. Very well, then. I shall return as soon as I am able. Upon leaving the Trelawney residence, I found myself in a whirlwind of activity. I first made my way back down to the caves and retrieved the pack of tools we had discovered the night before. On the theory, I may be able to discover some secret in the light of day. On my return to Swanage, I made stops at both the mayor's office and Dr. Blackwood's. Mayor Biggs seemed in fine form and intent on engaging me in a lengthy conversation. Once I managed to extricate myself from that engagement and continue on, I discovered that Dr. Blackwood was not in his office, so I decided to return back to the Trelawney home. I had already been gone much longer than expected and was deeply concerned that Edward would be pacing the floor. But when I arrived at the house, there was no sign of the young Trelawney, so I made my way directly toward the room where I'd left Holmes lying peacefully. As I approached, I was surprised to hear voices coming from that very room. The moving parts, all orchestrated in harmonic precision, but you blundered into the middle, stirring it all into chaos. Once again, you've stuck your meddlesome nose where it doesn't belong.
Doesn't belong? But my good man, I was invited here.
I advised against getting you involved, but they thought it would be a good way to get rid of you once and for all. Think you are so great, don't you? Well, great men always fall, eventually. And for you, the time is now. You are weak and in my power, Mr. Holmes. I will make you suffer as I have suffered. The torment of being so close to glorious success only to have it snatched away. And then we'll see how long that arrogant smirk of yours remains plastered across your foolish face. What the blazes are you laughing at?
That was an excellent speech, my dear Mr. Blackwood. But before you begin whatever regimen of torture you've concocted, you should look behind you.
Oh, please. I'm not falling for that old trick.
You may want to this time, Doctor. I've never before relished the killing of a human being, but if ever there was a time, this would be an excellent candidate.
You won't shoot me.
Do not tempt me, Doctor. My trigger finger seems to have developed something of a tremor. Now, I beg you, sit while we contact the authorities.
To blazes with you.
Stop!
I really must apologize, Dr. Watson. I intended to remain with Holmes until your return, but I received an urgent message from Emily, saying her horse had gone lame upon the cliffs, and would I please come and fetch her? I couldn't very well refuse.
Oh, no, of course not, my good man. And you also had no way of knowing it was nothing but a ruse to get you out of the house.
Precisely. And to make matters worse, the message truly was from Emily, for she included the little code word we've had since we were children.
Beastly. Absolutely heartless. But, Holmes, you really must explain this to me.
It is all quite simple, Watson. Miss Trelawney was in league with Dr. Blackwood, her husband.
What?
What?
Indeed. Once I awoke, I lay here for some time, gathering my senses. Presently, I overheard the boy from the telegraph delivering a message to Mr. Trelawney, who left the residence with understandable haste. With some effort, I made it from my bed to the window, where I hailed the telegraph messenger and placed my own order of delivery, this one to a certain board member of University College London, requesting immediate reply.
Ah, and he obliged?
Brothers are often required to indulge in another's eccentricities.
Mycroft!
The very same. He informed me that our dear Blackwood was up for promotion, but lacked any significant study or discovery in his field. This deficit made it unlikely he would advance farther than his current position.
I'm beginning to see, Holmes. Trelawney's work could have helped Blackwood ascend to the highest echelons of academia.
So one must imagine. But it was the final line of Mycroft's reply that put it all together.
Oh?
Yes. It said, for more detail, ask his wife.
How did you know that referred to Miss Trelawney?
I was already in suspicion of the lady. For one, she was the only person who kept referring to her father in the past tense. For another, the cigar in his study had been lit but not cut, something no true cigar smoker would do. It became clear to me that someone, a non-cigar smoker, wished to give the impression that Mr. Trelawney had been in the study more recently than he actually was. Thirdly, was Gilbert Trelawney's tidy book. I noticed there being some small differences in the handwriting, but might have overlooked that, except that there were minute alterations in terminology that coincided with the shift in penmanship. Clearly, someone other than Trelawney, and without his breadth of knowledge, had been adding in notes to the book to make it appear he had been recently active.
But what about Blackwood? Why did you decide to check on him?
First, he is an irritating individual and bore checking on. Second, the terrifying face in the cave was definitely not human, reminding me of the pictures I have seen of Zulu tribal masks.
Africa?
Yes. And you will recall Blackwood's time there as a soldier. You brought souvenirs back from your time in Afghanistan. Why would Blackwood not do the same?
Mr. Holmes, all this talk is giving me the impression you believe my father is dead?
I am afraid so, sir. It is quite clear to me that your sister and Dr. Blackwood, in unholy matrimony, conspired to steal your father's discoveries for both wealth and fame. They almost certainly killed him in the caves, likely dropping his body down the same hole into which Watson and I fell ourselves, and from there would have eventually found its way out to sea.
That is quite a story, Holmes. I have only two questions remaining, and then you simply must rest.
And the first?
Why are we not more concerned with apprehending Emily Trelawney? We have the wounded Blackwood in custody, but his wife remains free.
It is of no use, Watson.
No use? But surely, Holmes...
Once I made the connection between Blackwood and our dear lady, I took advantage of an empty house to search her private room. And if you will look upon the bedside table, you will see what I found, and learn why I am in no hurry to waste time pursuing Mrs. Blackwood.
Why, it is a marriage license.
Indeed. Performed in London, which is how they kept it quiet locally. But more importantly, Watson, let your eyes wander down to the signature of witnesses.
Holmes! The name of the second witness!
Yes. Irene Adler. I cannot bring myself to believe that such a woman is involved in anything without some higher purpose in mind. She bested me once, Watson, and it appears she had at least some hand in doing it again.
Amazing woman.
She is the woman, Watson. And one day, I intend to best her on equal footing.
I suppose that is what Blackwood meant when he said they thought this would be a good way to get rid of you once and for all.
Yes. Revenge was not the least of this adventure's themes. You had a second inquiry?
Yes. This is perhaps not the best time to bring this up, but...
Watson. I know what you're on about. And you are right. There is certainly something going on within me that requires further investigation. And I promise that upon returning to London, I shall submit myself to whatever indignities may be required. Is that sufficient? May I sleep now? Or do you have yet more tedious inquiries?
You not only may sleep, but you must sleep upon strict doctor's orders.
Thank you for listening to The Lost Legacy of Tillywhim, a Sherlock Holmes adventure. In the cast, you heard R.J. Bailey as Sherlock Holmes, A.W. Miller as Dr. Watson, Stephanie Nimmett Parker as Elizabeth Trelawney, Mike Carnes as Mayor Biggs, Craig Hart as Dr. Blackwood and the Driver, Jonathan Cook as Edward Trelawney and the Night Soil Man, and Nicole Swanson as the Housekeeper. Script, direction, and sound design by Craig Hart. The Lost Legacy of Tillywhim is an LRT Media production.